Happy Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. It's decent weather. Week's flying by. Can't complain. How's everything in Birmingham?
It's good. Probably not as good as it is in Columbia. We've had some storms, but yeah, no, it's warming up. So looking forward to it.
I was about to ask, you're wearing like a long sleeve like shirt, so it must be a little bit cold there.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. The weather's been pretty rough. We lost power yesterday. Just some thunderstorms.
Oh, in the office, you guys lost power?
Yeah, I mean, it got back up pretty quickly, but yeah, lots of storms.
Oh, that would have been bad. I don't know how freight would have got moved. You stay down, you're all gonna have to go to the coffee shop or something.
Yeah, no, it's always fun when the power goes out, and then everybody tells me the power is out. Like I don't know, and we're not working on getting it back up. So yeah, it's always a lot of fun.
Well, shout out to our sponsors, Multi-Service Fuel Card. They've been around since heck. A lot longer than Will and I have been alive. I think one of the longest fuel cards out there, Jessica, Patricia, fantastic. They have a card for brokers too. Yeah, it's a great company. They get involved with the Broker Carrier Summit a lot. Black Box, Will's company, HG Ships, where I recruit agents for. Loadbase, we had Stan on the show about a month ago. Great tracking software. Will's demoed the product. Maybe Will wants to talk more on that, but.
Yeah, it's real-time visibility. So a lot of the tracking software out there pings on timed intervals. So Stan's product's cool because at any moment you can see a live update of where the driver is. Interface is also super clean. Reminds me of like an Apple product. So, great product there. So if you're in the market for tracking or just want to explore options, they also support Mexican phone numbers. So that's it's a big plus as well.
Oh, I forgot that. That's pretty cool. Sales-CRM. I feel like you guys are golfing. Josh is coming down there golfing once every couple months now.
Yeah, it was just the one time besides the opening. But yeah, no, that's Sales-Dash is great. They've got some new stuff rolling out. Black Box uses it. We love it. It's freight centric, so comes built out as you need it. You don't have to go in the back end and add a bunch of stuff. So no, we love it.
Yeah, we have some agents that use it too. Absolutely fantastic. And our banner sponsor, Taft's, top 10 factoring company, Kansas City-based company. Rob, Ryan, I think they have people answering the phone until 12 o'clock. Yeah, at night, great, great customer service, great rates, just great people all around.
Yeah, they'll be at the Broker Carrier Summit as well. So if anybody tuned in, we'll be up there. Make sure to get in touch with them. Well, man, I'm pumped about this show. The first podcast that I actually ever went on was Freight Caviar. And we're kind of spread throughout the world today. You're in Colombia, I'm in the US, and then Paul's joining us from Poland.
Yeah. We've had a couple of shows. Well, last week, what did we have? I was in Colombia, you were here, and then where was why am I blanking on this?
Reed, he was in Arizona.
No, maybe it was sometime about the week before then. I'm thinking about the week before, probably.
I'm not sure. I'm blanking too.
Okay, I'm blanking too. That's the problem with doing the show. I got a Red Bull, but we never do shows at like 9 in the morning. I think it's the first time, but obviously we're flexible. But yeah, I'm not quite up to speed awake yet.
We'll get you there. We'll go ahead and bring Paul on stage. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking to you guys.
Yeah, 100%. So, man, most of our audience will likely know who you are, but you've got a really cool story. So will you kind of run us through that, the cliff notes, kind of how you got into logistics, your experience, and then kind of how you spun that off into Freight Caviar, and now, of course, you're involved. And seems like you got a handful of companies, Shipper CRM, Freight Caviar. I'll let you take it from there.
Sure. Yeah. So basically I was at U of I, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And I was doing a psychology bachelor's degree, and I was like, all right, like I want to do my master's, but at the same time, I don't want to take a bunch of student loans. And so I went to like the career fair, and I was walking around, and all of a sudden I bumped into my fraternity brother, Danny Bazelon. And he's like, they're at a booth with Truck Freight Services, and his father owns a brokerage. And he's like, Paul, you should come work for like my dad. And I had no idea what a freight brokerage was back then. And I got an interview and they gave me an offer, and I was like, you know, like, this is the only offer I have. It's making 33K a year and paying, you know, commission after 6 months. But I'm like, you know, like, honestly, that sounds better than anything other opportunity I have. And so started working at Trek Freight Services. This was June of 2025. We had a great sales program. Shout out to Steve Schneider for running that training program. And he taught us very well on how to like be a carrier sales rep. And then I was went into booking freight, and I quickly like grasped or like, I guess I knew Polish growing up because I grew up in a Polish like American household. I spoke Polish at home, and like there's so many Polish trucking companies, especially in Chicagoland. And I was the only one that spoke Polish in the office. And all of a sudden, like all these Polish carriers were just calling me to book freight with me because that helps so much. Just builds honesty, and you know, like you have that like cultural tie and everything. And you know, I quickly started getting carriers in my name with that. And outside of Polish carriers, I also had a lot of trucking companies I worked with, and I liked it. It was something that was fun. I always got like this dopamine surge whenever you booked the load. So it was just a lot of fun. And, but like, honestly, like they didn't pay a lot after a year. Like I made 50K the first year. I felt like I should have probably been making more because I was booking a lot of freight, and I was like burnt out, to be honest. I had some like problems with carriers and consolidation and all this stuff. And so I was like, honestly, I'm going to leave the industry. I'm going to go travel the world, and I'm going to come back, and then I'll probably go through my master's in psychology. That was the whole plan. And so I quit Trek in exactly a year after starting, so June 2016. And my father, he worked for an airline, and I used to have like these like flying privileges for standby. And so until the age of 24, and I was like 22 at the time. So I started just traveling around Europe, backpacking. I went to India, I went to Southeast Asia, all these places. And then I come home after 6 months, and I'm like absolutely broke. Like I have like literally $30 in my bank account. And I'm like, maybe right now it's not the best time to go do my master's. Like I need to make some money. Like my parents live paycheck to paycheck. Like they didn't have money to give me. So I'm like, I'm on my own. Like I have to go make some money. So I reached out to my friend at CS Recruiting. She was there. She originally worked with me at Trek Freight. And she had told me previously, like, hey, Paul, if you're looking for a job in logistics, hit me up. We could help you out. And so I hit her up. Her name is Arbella. And she got me 4 interviews in 1 week. I ended up getting 4 offers in 1 week. And then it was between Everest Transportation Systems and K&L Freight Management. And I was going to go with K&L Freight Management, but then basically like Everest gave me a better offer, and it was like a small little company brokerage back then. Sorry for the background noise, by the way. I hope it's not too loud. And basically at that point I chose Everest, and Everest was like literally 7 dudes in like a corner office, like in this, like, I don't know, office center in Evanston. It was like really funny, no HR, all dudes. It was like a men's locker room essentially, like, and it was just, but it was like so much fun at the same time. And we were growing really fast. Like I was the first carrier sales rep, like outside of the owners who were just, they hired me to come help cover freight. Like the first few days was like, we had like 7 loads on the board, and like, we just kept getting more and more freight. And then in November, which was like 10 months later, they're like, Paul, do you want to move to Ukraine to open up our office in Ukraine? And I was like, I'll move to Ukraine. Like I was all excited about it. Like my grandparents live in Poland. And so I used to come here every summer. Like I used to come here actually quite often. And I was like, it's right next door. Like I'll move to Ukraine. So in November, 2017, I moved from my parents and I moved to Ukraine, and my life changed overnight because I went from living like in like a really small condo with my parents and like my siblings to like living like a king in Ukraine. It was like the biggest like life change in like overnight I've ever experienced in my life. And I ended up having a like, super nice apartment in Kiev, you know, started making really good money and all this stuff. And at least relatively for like what I was making, and ended up spending 3 years in Ukraine. We grew the office. I was the only American there, and we built the office from 4 people to 100 in those 3 years. And then during the pandemic, I was just like kind of getting also burnt out. Just honestly, like it wasn't exciting anymore. And I'm like, you know what? Like I was like 27 at the time, and I was like, if I'm going to take a risk, like a big risk right now in my life, it's probably the best time. I don't have a family. I just had broken up my girlfriend then too. So I was like, all right, I'm going to quit Everest. I'm going to move to Poland. I'm going to start my own brokerage. And so I ended up starting my own brokerage called Bang Bang Freight. And the reason why it was called Bang Bang Freight was because there was like the best customer sales rep at Everest. Every time you covered a load for him, he would always say bang bang every single time. So, I ended up doing that for a few months, and I realized like I didn't actually enjoy booking freight or running a company. Like running a brokerage is so much different than being a carrier sales rep. And I hope you don't Do you guys hear the background noise right now? There's a lady talking on the phone. I hope you don't hear that.
Just a little bit, but not much.
But not bad. A little bit. Okay. I do apologize. I'm in this coffee shop right now. So I ended up just not liking it. Like, I was like, owning a brokerage sucks. It really does suck. Like, okay, especially in the beginning, like, you have no credits to where you're paying like 50% of pickup, 50% of delivery. It's like dealing with, you know, finding shippers is difficult, all this stuff. And I'm like, I ended up spending all my time instead of like booking freight or finding freight was just making memes on Instagram. And that was a lot more fun for me. And I never expected to make any money off of it. I just was like, this is what I want to do right now. And that's why I did it. And it was originally called Shipping Pallets. And then I changed my name to Freight Caviar. And for some reason it worked. And it, you know, it got some traction and we ended up getting some sponsors. And then I'm like, okay, like it'd be cool to have a newsletter. Cause I read the newsletter, Morning Brew newsletter every day when I was at Everest. It was like the first newsletter I read, like just to kind of get an insight into like what's going on in the market and all that stuff. And I'm like, it'd be cool to do that for freight. So we did that. And then we expanded to podcasts and now like we're expanding. We just launched a Freight Caviar forum. And I partnered with my co-founder in September of 2022 for Shipper CRM. So things just started working out and, I haven't been a freight broker. I haven't brokered a load in a few years, besides that bicycle one I did a couple days ago with my bike from Michigan. But aside from that, I just been, working at Freight Caviar and it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun and it's been life changing. So I guess that's like a long clip notes, but that's the story.
How was the feedback and how was it like when your first Freight Caviar first started and, you know, doing memes? Was it, was everyone all positive about it at the time, or was it like, because I was in probably, you know, a different time when social media is pretty normalized, I think, in freight, but I imagine back then it was a little bit different. Were there just some challenges there kind of at the beginning?
You know what? It's funny because like I started only on Instagram. So I wasn't even on LinkedIn then. It was only Instagram. This was October 2020. And I had just quit Everest. I was still living in Ukraine. I had like a month until I moved to Poland. And I basically... like, okay, so my bio said number one Landstar double broker in Ukraine was my bio on Instagram. And I was like saying my name is Boris and all this stuff. And I started just making fun of Landstar like a lot of times. Like a lot of the memes were just ripping on Landstar. And then I wake up in January, 3 months later, with like, I had 3,500 followers on Instagram at that point. And I get an email from Instagram saying that your account has been deleted because Landstar, like corporate, reported you to us. And they, so I woke up to my account being deleted with 3,500 followers. And I had to talk to Jeffrey, the lawyer from Landstar. And I basically promised him I'm never going to make fun of Landstar again if he just unblocked my account, because it was a terrible day for me. And so that was kind of one of the hurdles in the beginning. And then we didn't get into LinkedIn until like August of 2021. So that was like almost a year after I started the page on Instagram. So that was one of like, I guess, one of those hurdles I had to go through.
Yeah. Have you made fun of Landstar since? Have you kept your word on that?
I haven't. Like, I mean, so making fun, I guess, like, I maybe like poked at them a little bit, but I wasn't calling myself a double broker that works for them, like, which I think that was like the biggest problem they had. It's like it with it all. So. And I probably shouldn't be saying this on my like channel right now, but at the same time, like, it's just the honest truth. That's what happened. And,
you had that happen with any other companies? Like, obviously, you know, you publish, you know, news stories now about, you know, different things happening in freight. You're obviously making memes about other companies. Has anything like that happened, you know, since? Like, ever got a cease and desist from a brokerage or saying like, hey, you need to not? Like, how common is that, I guess, in kind of like what you're doing?
I've gotten a decent amount of cease and desist letters. Maybe like decent amount. I don't know, like 3 or 4. And it was just basically like, yo, like, remove this. Like, and like I know one of them was from Fox Freight because like we kind of like, I guess like wrote negatively about their financial situation, which is like reported on from like a situation that a factoring company like stopped working with them, and so. They sent us cease and desist, and I think that was the right thing to do, because like we learned a lot from just situations where it's like we can't be posting stuff without like verifying like a lot of it. You know, we can't just take someone's IG message and be like, yo, this is news or this is a fact. Like, we got to be cross-verifying. And that's kind of the things that you learn, because, like, I never got a journalistic degree. So, like, you know, like, now with Craig Faber having a newsletter and having articles, like, there are obviously ethics of journalism that I don't know about that I've learned, that it's like, okay, like, in order to, like, this actually be a story that we could post, like, we should have, like, you know, references, we should verify these points. So, like, there's a few stories besides that we had some problems with. And I think right now we're at a point where, like, we've kind of understood and learned, like, what we could do and we can't do. So, like, we've been more conservative in the sense of, like, what we publish now, just making sure that we verify stuff.
That's pretty neat, though, because, I don't know, looking at it from an outside perspective, it's almost like the hurdles, right? Like, a cease and desist letter is almost an indicator that you've kind of, like, reached this level of like, outreach, right? So just starting, it's like shipping pallets, like shit posting memes, maybe. And then it gets to this level where, like, you're reporting stuff, and then, like, you have these companies, like, taking the time to get large, but, like, cease and desist. It's like, oh, damn, like, we've like, really turned this into, like, a legit operation, right? Which is, it's really neat to hear you talk about and say, like, yeah, like, I enjoyed making memes, and then to see it come full circle. And now it's kind of like combining entertainment with news. And it's like, yeah, pretty much everybody knows Freight Caviar in the industry now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. It's been cool. And, like, I'm going to just go outside to the music. It's not.
Very good. This.
So,
mobile.
Yeah, I mean, it's been cool. But it's taken time at this, you know, because it's been almost 5 years since we started. And, you know, like, it wasn't overnight. And one of the things that I've learned is that, like, everything takes time, you know, like, whatever you're going to be working on. And as long as you're persistent, like, it's going to work out. That's, like, one of the key takeaways I've had in life. Is my connection worse now, guys? I'm so sorry.
I don't know if it's my connection in Colombia or if it's yours, but it's lagging a little bit, like freezing on my screen. But that could be me in Colombia.
All right.
Sorry about that. No, you're good.
It's better now, at least on my end.
Yeah, it's good. Well, the background noise isn't bad. At least for us, what's coming through. Over there, but now that's very cool seeing it all come full circle.
It's interesting you kind of brought that point up about it, you know, taking time. I think I saw, I forget who it was on Twitter, it posted right after TIA, the biggest thing on, you know, people were asking is how to get more engagement on whether they're marketing for their company or whatever they're doing. And I think you brought up a big thing. I mean, a lot of those things, you know, take time, especially now. I mean, in the future with, like, AI and so many things of not knowing what's human, you know, created. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, persistence and patience. It's like, obviously, the two virtues you need to build something successfully. Nothing's overnight.
Yeah. Also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like, I don't know, being different, it's almost like you pioneered the memes into, like, news, right? Like, that's at the time it was probably not being done a lot. And then now it's like there's memes everywhere. But even, like, for sales and stuff, memes kind of, they hit rather than, like, this cookie cutter, like, copy, you know, scripted news. It's like kind of like it's not entertaining, right? Like, it might be information, but if it's not, I don't know, combining those two, like, the intersection, I think was kind of like a sweet spot.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to give credit to, like, Morning Brew, because Morning Brew is something that we look up to, or a company we look up to a lot in terms of, like, they've kind of, like, created that, I guess, type of, like, news content where it's also, like, memeable. And besides that, like, when it comes to, like, freight memes, like, the OGs was, like, Detention Denied and I Hate Freight. Like, mm-hmm. Those are the guys that we followed at our office in Everest, like, all day long when it comes to freight broker memes. So also shout out to them. And I feel like they could have probably done this a few years earlier than I did and probably would have taken, like, a lot of the market share. So also really grateful for them not doing that and allowing us to kind of do that instead.
Well, how do you manage your time now with, I mean, obviously we talked about kind of how you've grown and now you're in Chipper CRM, you're at different conferences, you got two or three different businesses. I'm sure you're getting a million DMs a day of people asking, you know, either news stories or memes. Like, how do you manage your time so you're like not going insane? Like, do you think you're working more hours now than you were as a carrier sales rep, or what's just kind of how's your time management work? I'm just curious.
Sure. Yeah. My time management thing is like all over the place. Like today, like for example, like I woke up, I have like this mind and body coach. So I had a meeting with them for an hour, and then I had to drive to like Lublin where my grandma lives, which is like a 2-hour drive. I had to get my tires changed. And then like, cause of the jet lag, I literally like couldn't like stay awake. I had to take a nap for like an hour and a half. I woke up, I ate like lunch, and I came to this coffee shop, and I had a meeting with their team. And then I had this call now. And in between those, I also had a couple meetings with my my team too. And like, we got the newsletter put together. Luckily, I do have a team who's been very, very like helpful and like kind of like, you know, taking on tasks and doing a lot of stuff. When it comes to like time management, my schedule, like I wish I had more of a routine, but it seems like every day is just different. And I don't think I work more nowadays than I did back then. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of stuff that I do doesn't feel like work. Like I try to just to kind of like do things that I like, but I also like procrastinate on a lot of things I should be doing. Like my inbox is full of emails I should probably be like reading right now, or at least replying to. So I don't know. I have a lot of problems with concentration on stuff I don't like ADHD, like all that, like very, like I'm all over the place all the time. And there's obviously, it's helped me like from like the creative kind of side of things when it comes to content, it's pretty helpful. But when it comes to like organizationally, like internal stuff, there's been times like where like I should be more on top of things for sure. But I know it's a work in progress. That's one. But yeah, definitely my team's been very helpful. When it comes to like Free Cagger and Shipper CRM, like my co-founder, Christian, he spends most of his time working on Shipper CRM. And then I do most of my time spending on Free Caviar. So we kind of just like, I help a little bit on Shipper CRM. He helps a little bit on Free Caviar, but that's kind of how we split responsibilities when it comes to that. So yeah, I mean, but overall, like, I don't know, like what I really like about my schedule nowadays is the fact that like, I kind of like do whatever I feel like doing. And I'm not very organized when it comes to like a routine. I should probably, because it would help me a lot in many ways. At the same time, I kind of just enjoy like yesterday I got my bike put together and I ended up taking some meetings at the park and I ended up biking for the rest of the day. And it was awesome. It was an amazing day. So I don't know, I guess like life is so short, and that's kind of like what I've been reading this book right now, like 4,000 weeks, like time management for mortals. And it's like, there's all these books about time management and like how to make the most use of your time. But at the same time, like we're all gonna be dead very, very soon. Like 80 years, like is 4,000 weeks. And the last 4 weeks of my life have been like a blur. I don't even know how they flew by. And that's like, you know, out of 4,000 weeks, it just seems like life's so short. It's like, I don't want to do stuff I don't want to do. And I know there's going to be some gurus out there that like, you got to like do all like the hard things. And you may be right. But at the same time, like for me, I'm like, I don't know. I like, it's been fun living kind of spontaneously and just kind of like going with the flow of things and not forcing things. So
I think that's so true. I mean, I agree with you. I can relate to a lot of the vast majority of what you said. And I think there's a lot of people more like us with that mindset who, you know, just kind of, you know, I also struggle with things I don't really want to do and I probably should do. And sometimes organization, you know, and things like that. But as you said, I mean, it brings out creativity too. So yeah, I think there's there's a lot of people that are probably like the, you know, guru mindset. You need like a special routine, this, and this. But I think there's a lot of like free spirited people too, who kind of view it similarly to how you and I view it too. I think there's a good mix of both, which yeah. I think is needed. So I don't know what Will's thoughts are.
For sure. I'm going to check out that book. No, I think there's a lot of power in that freedom, what you're talking about, right? Like just doing what you want, like finding a way. It seems like you've built a life that like you enjoy living, right? And I think a lot of people get caught in not able to do that, right? So I think that's a beautiful thing. And yeah, I wish I was more like you guys, where it's kind of like go with the flow. I am pretty like structured in routine, and it's good and it's bad. I mean, I think there's pros and cons to both, but I do wish I had a little bit more of that in me that you guys are describing. So no, I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah, I think if you're an owner of a brokerage, it's like almost impossible to live the lifestyle I live, you know, because like there's so many urgent tasks that need to get done ASAP. Otherwise, your customer's going to get upset with you and you're probably, you know, not going to move the load. And that's one of the reasons why, like, I can't be in brokerage anymore, because it's like, this is just, it caused a lot of stress for me. And it just, like, it was fun. I like booking freight, but there's also a lot of that stress. And I feel like if you do have a brokerage, you have to have a structure in your team, which is so difficult.
Yeah, a newer concept I've been exploring is like the true cost of things, like taking away monetary value and then considering it in terms of like what you're describing, like stress, time, life, mm-hmm. like the true cost of like, okay, like if I want this thing or like this brokerage, and then, but like the true trade-off, the sacrifice to get like end goal, not just like what you would consider, like whatever, like the true cost, like the time. And then you really at the end of your life, you're going to look back most of this probably, and like time's going to be the most valuable commodity, right? Like at the end of your life, if you have all this money, you can't trade that money for more life. So if you were to go ask like Warren Buffett or somebody like, hey, would you give away, you know, 50% of this to be, you know, 26 again? Like he'd probably do it in a heartbeat, but then for whatever reason, maybe it's big in the US, maybe like this culture, like this hustle culture. And it's like so hyper-focused on these like materialistic things. And man, like I'm like real bad about it. Like I want this stuff. So then like I truly sacrifice, but then if I take a step back and like really reflect on it, it's like, man, is it worth it? And I go back and forth. So it's like, it's one of those things I think everybody should like really like think about and consider. And like, I don't have all the answers, but it's a cool thing to explore.
For sure. And honestly, something that's been very helpful for me this year is like meditation. I started doing meditation beginning of this year with my mind and body coach. And like, it's been kind of an unlock of like deeper thoughts and like just kind of like a lot of insights from me. Literally a guy cutting grass right here. And I hope you guys hear this.
Barely. It's like, it's barely.
It's all good.
Okay. Okay. Good. And like, for me, it's like, I realized like, okay, like right now I don't have kids. I'll probably have kids like in a really like decently soon timeframe. But like right now, like I'm like, what really makes me happy and satisfied in life is like a free schedule, meditation, like working out, reading, like eating health, like healthy foods. And I'm like thinking like about this, like material wealth, like obviously like it's nice to have material wealth because it helps you like in like, you know, it helps you in many ways, like not have to like be so stressed out. But at the same time, like if I were to be broke right now, if I just say, for example, I lost everything, I know for a fact I'd still be very happy because like life is the biggest gift you could ever receive. And like, I will figure things out. And honestly, like sometimes I'm like, damn, like even if I lost everything right now, it might be like a cool experience to just to kind of like see how I'd rebuild myself. And I am not afraid of losing everything. And I think taking a risk is super important. And the only reason I'm here right now in my life is because I took a risk. And I would say like, I've learned that like taking a risk is like, if you're capable of taking a risk, like huge unlock in life, because especially if you know what you want to do with it.
No, so there's a lot of studies about like, so happiness, like in correlation to money. So like past the base needs, right? So like if you have enough money for like shelter, food, like all this normal stuff, like the amount of money you make, like in correlation to your happiness it really doesn't, like the money in compared to how much your happiness will go up is very, very small. Cause like most people, if you ask them, no matter what they're making, it's always going to be more. And like, if you're in that mindset of like more, it's never enough. Right. So, I don't know. I like that you have like a mind and body coach and like exploring some of that stuff. It's pretty, pretty interesting, but no, yeah, I think that's a pretty like common theme for like the human condition is more, right. So like the freedom to be like, yeah, if I lost everything, like I'd still be like happy. It'd be a cool story. The framing and perspective is very powerful.
Exactly. And just like thinking about like the fact that we're here right now talking, we're alive, like that's free, you know, and I mean, besides the internet connections and all that, but like that still would, I still have that even if I lost all my money, you know, like I could still talk to you guys and I could still, you know, like go on a walk. I could still like eat an apple. Like I have my bike now, so I can go biking. Like I think, like honestly, the best things in life are free. Like I 100% believe in that.
Hey, we got a comment. It's this might be on your page, Matt, because it says LinkedIn user. But I say, Paul, can you run us through your meditation routine?
Yeah. So I just I did the I do the meditation with my mind and body coach, who kind of teaches it to me. And then like for the last few months, I've been just kind of listening to the recordings. I do it in the morning, and it's been like progressively getting like longer in the sense of like how long we do it for. And right now, like we're around at 30 minutes. And he just told me today that like I could just start doing it by myself where I don't have to listen to his audio. But it's basically just like there's two types of meditation that we do. We do one that is like breathing through the nose, like focusing on your breath. And try to be as much as focused on that. And that's actually been very helpful for like my ADHD, where like I realize I'm like a lot more focused afterwards. So that's been a great unlock. And then the second type of meditation is called scanning of the body, where you start from the feet and you go to the head and you kind of like sense every part of your body. And you know, like those like photos or like emojis of like having this kind of glow when like you're meditating, like you're kind of like, yeah, like I feel that sometimes after doing a scanning of my body, you just feel everything like awake, like and alive. It's like, it's really a powerful feeling. And so that there's like the two types of meditation, and I do it every day in the morning. Usually like first thing in the morning, I wake up, drink some water. Okay, this is random, but like I started doing this a couple weeks ago and I highly recommend it. Okay. Take a liter of water, just one of those big bottles. Squeeze like a bunch of lemon in it and then pour some maple syrup, like real good maple syrup from like Whole Foods. Dude, it's like the best thing in the world. Cleans out your whole body. Like you just go to the bathroom afterwards and just cleans everything out. So delicious. And I've been doing that every day. And then afterwards I do the meditation. And then I get on with my day. That's
a cool combination. I never would have thought of maple syrup, water, and lemons.
It's the best lemonade you'll ever drink in your life. At least in my opinion, it's the best. It's like the healthiest too. So it's really, really good.
I have to check it out. So with the meditation, just kind of like diving kind of like deeper into this. So what do you feel like, cause I don't know, I've dabbled in meditation, but what do you think are like the main benefits you get from that? Like, I don't know, I guess the way I see it, a lot of people are kind of like on autopilot. So we're talking about like this body scan, this meditation in the morning, like being aware of, I don't know what it's done for me. Like when I have done it, I'm not doing a whole bunch of it right now, just like awareness of like why I'm doing what I do. And like giving me that kind of perspective, what are kind of like the best, benefits you get from it or can you touch on that?
That's a great question. And, I would have to say like, for the first few weeks of doing it, I didn't really understand it, or I guess I didn't see the benefits of it. And I felt like it took me a while to kind of like realize like, wow, I should definitely be doing this every day and I should be doing this for even longer. And someone that I look up to a lot is Nepal Ravikant, and he's like a Silicon Valley investor. He writes a lot on Twitter. He had a really good episode on Modern Wisdom podcast a couple of weeks ago, which I highly recommend going to check out. But he talks a lot about meditation. And for me, meditation, it kind of just like clears out or cleans out your brain. It's like, I feel like every day, like we have so much like information flowing through our brain and there's so many tasks to do where like we just feel overwhelmed. And I feel like it makes you just kind of like peaceful and calm at the same time, realize that like we will never be on top of everything, you know, like, and people like, I think constantly chase this feeling that like they need to be on top of everything. But in reality, it's like, you're not going to be on top of everything, no matter what you do, because there's always going to be something to do. And it's like this realization that like, hey, like life is still moving forward. Each day is passing and it's like, just enjoy it, you know, be grateful for it, love it. And I think besides that, it's given me a lot of good ideas inside of the business and personally, where like I have a lot more empathy towards people. And it just like, it's got me a lot more connected with myself spiritually. And that means like I can understand other people better. Like, it makes me want to spend like, at least that from the ideas that I have, like it makes me want to spend a lot more time with my family. It makes me want to be more present, more focused. Cause I used to just be like constantly in my mind thinking about the next thing I got to do. Whereas now it's like, yo, just take it easy. Like life will work out, you know, like our lives right now, like we live better than kings did like a century ago. And I don't think people like appreciate that enough. Like literally we live amazing lives, but like, I think like us as humans, like always just want more. And sometimes like, I think like we have to realize like, you know, we already have so much, like there's, and like, instead of being focused on like how to make more money, maybe we should be focused on like how to do like, do more for others. Like, you know, that doesn't like, you know, like I love helping out my grandma. Like I come visit her every week. I spend some time with her. Like, and like that for me feels so much better than making money. And so I guess like these kind of realizations in my mind, like where it's like less money focused, materialistic focused, and more just like kind of be like grateful, mindful, and like present in the moment.
That, yeah, I mean, that goes along with, I mean, like with how we got here, you kind of started with that book, like 4,000 weeks. Like, okay, we talk about quantity, but then going deeper, it's the quality of those 4,000 weeks. So like practicing that kind of stuff, get the most out of it. Sounds like the mindfulness allows you to enjoy the present. Maybe lots of people are thinking about the future, maybe the past, and like not really where their feet are, getting the most out of it. Doing those things that you're talking about, helping out your grandmother, building those relationships, things that really, really feed into life. So no, that's great. And then even, yeah, we live better than kings did. There's a Seneca quote I really like, and it's, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. So kind of like going off of that, it's like the frame, like in any situation, it's like, are you looking at the good or the bad, or, you know, like the reality of the situation. So no, that's really good stuff. I like how we got here, man. Bring on Paul Frick Caviar. Now we're talking about meditation and philosophy.
Yeah, I have this idea of like starting like a freight event where like we all just like go meditate, and then like we sip on tea like in a Japanese tea room, and we all just like connect that way, because like I feel like we need that, like as like at least that's what I want to do. It's actually one of my ideas where I'm like, we got to get all connected and like come in a room, meditate, connect with each other, drink some green tea, like or matcha the Japanese way, and like just connect with others outside of like the Western way of just like drinking alcohol. So
maybe a conference idea for next big conference.
Yeah, yeah, that might be if Ray Cappy ever does like an event like or a conference, I think that that's gonna be part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, have you guys ever dabbled with the idea of doing a conference?
Yeah, so like right now, just to like give you some ideas of where I'm at, like what excites me. So like, here's the thing: like, we're finally at a place right now where it's like, okay, like we have some, you know, like I guess consistency or some kind of like we've built up to like a form of security in the sense of the company where like we're established, like we have sponsors, like that are committed and all this stuff, and right now like I've come to this other phase, and this is also via meditation, like what I want to do next. One of them is like this focus on like documentaries. I want to do a lot of Freight Caviar documentaries. We were in Mexico 2 weeks ago in Guadalajara, and that's going to be coming out in a month. And so I'm really excited about that. I was actually thinking about potentially driving to Ukraine tomorrow because I'm like an hour from the border, and I have a friend who's like right across from me in Lviv, and like there's a lot of freight brokers, like people outsource there. And like I was thinking about maybe just going there for a day tomorrow and filming some content. Don't know if it's gonna happen yet, but aside from that, like there's a lot of like Freight Caviar documentaries that I want to put out. That's what really excites me. Like honestly, like if I start thinking about like what I want to do, because like if you look at a newsletter, you look at a podcast, like okay, a podcast, the shelf life of the podcast could be much longer than a newsletter, in the sense of like, okay, this could be relevant. Someone could listen to this conversation in 5 years and still benefit from it. With a newsletter, probably gonna get stale within a couple of days. Like, you know, it's content that, you know, it's news that, you know, there's constantly more and more news out there. Whereas a documentary for me, like, I'm like, damn, like I'm gonna be like 80 years old and I'm gonna be like watching this, and I think I'm gonna love it. And I wanna document more things via video. So one thing that really, really excites me is definitely doing more Freight Caviar documentaries. And then the next stage, I think we want to start dabbling in some kind of conference stuff. I don't know yet exactly how that's going to look like or when it's going to be, but it's definitely something in the back of my mind. And it might involve some of those like, you know, unique stuff that I'm talking about. Like, you know, we might have like a Japanese tea room for connecting with people, or a meditation session or something like that, where I think it would definitely be different. It wouldn't be like the regular conference that you go to and like this network. It'd be more unique than that.
Yeah, well, keep us posted if you do, and I would definitely go. Got another comment. They're showing up as LinkedIn users. This is a good place for me to shamelessly plug myself. I released a book, so somebody just ordered it. If you're interested, it's link in my bio. No, I think that'd be really, really neat. I think that the freight industry as a whole could really benefit from something like that. Everybody's so wound so tight, man. It's tough. Just logistics in nature. Talking about like going along the lines with meditation, right? Like the control and just being like worked up. A lot of things are just like, I don't know, take them as they come, right? So I think that it's definitely a stressful job for anybody that's in the trenches operations and, you know, trucks gone rogue, dealing with everything that comes with it.
100%. So I guess kind of, you know, as we wrap up, Paul, I mean, what's kind of the future? You got any other besides the conference aspect? I think I saw a post a while back. You guys have like kind of some big things, you know, in the works or some, you know, big risk you may be taking, you know, coming up soon.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like the risk stuff, like I think the risks excite me more nowadays because of the realization that we're all going to be dead real soon. It's like, am I going to regret taking like a risk when I'm 80 years old? Like at the end of the day, like the basic stuff that we need to live, like that's going to be readily available. And that's like easy to come by. Like, and I think even Seneca like says that, like, I forgot the quote, but it's like, basically like, even back then, like 2000 years ago or whatever, when Seneca was alive, like, you know, to become homeless, for example, like that's like a pretty difficult task. And it typically like means that you're probably like an alcoholic or a drug addict or something like that. But like, if you're just like, you know, if you don't have a problem, like you say, like an addiction problem, like you're gonna have food on the table, you're gonna have a bed. It's like, why not make the most of it and do something cool with like the time that you have on this planet? And so with the risks, like, I think that's more associated with like, maybe like investing some of the money more into like right now we started working with like this video agency that is a lot more expensive than what I was used to paying. But at the same time, like I know that they bring quality. And so like, that's kind of like a risk that I'm like, I'm willing to put money there so that like the quality of the product increases. And also like when it comes to hiring, like right now we're kind of like trying to figure out what's like the next addition to our team that we need to like, you know, kind of crush it. So I think that's just like, I used to be really, I mean, I am still frugal in the sense of like, I don't like spending money, but at the same time, like I want to see where can I invest the money into Freight Caviar that will like yield, you know, higher quality product and then more revenue. So that's kind of like some of the risks associated with that. And we have some other stuff that we're working on that I can't really discuss right now, but I guess that's part of it. What was the first part of the question, Matt, aside from the risks?
That was the main part. It got kind of like, okay, the future besides conferences and kind of referencing the post. I think you kind of like answered, sure, both questions kind of at once. So that was cool to hear.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just excited. I think there's a lot of stuff that could be done. And what, honestly, like, I think what I'm also realizing a lot, like nowadays, like, I mean, competition exists. And I mean, with Freight Caviar, I guess like from the newsletter podcast side and like the documentary side, like there are obviously like, we have like, I wouldn't even call them competition. Like nowadays, like, I think like this industry, maybe I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking in the wrong way, but like, I think that there is a way for us all to like work together for this industry to be better. Like, and I am maybe naive, but I think like there's a lot of room for partnerships in this industry and a lot of room for like dialogue. Yeah. And I don't know where I'm trying to get to with this, but I'm a lot more empathetic nowadays, and I like talking to people. I like hearing their stories. And congrats to you, Will, on the release of your book.
Thank you.
It's awesome to see. And appreciate that. Must have been difficult to get out. I mean, I know like writing wise and stuff like that, but that's awesome. And I think that that's awesome. And I think like we got to just be more supportive of each other. Like, we're here for a short time. Let's work together. Let's see how we could, you know, first of all, like, you know, do cool stuff, and then improve the industry. So
awesome. Yeah, no, I love that concept, building value versus claiming value, you know, making the pie bigger. That's great stuff. Well, man, it's been a blast. We touched on all kinds of topics. I really enjoyed it. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come join us on the pod, and we'll be tuned in to everything that you guys are working on, and we're big fans of your work.
thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. And so apologies for like some of the background noise here. I thought it was gonna be a lot quieter here, and just chilling at this coffee shop here in Poland. It's a nice day outside when doors open. So thanks for having me. I enjoyed it a lot. And yeah.
Thanks again, Paul. And we'll talk soon. We'll have you on. We'll have you back soon, I'm sure.
All right, take care.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good we did talk, we like kind of switched the subject away from like a lot of freight things, but I thought it was cool. Like we kind of talk about meditation, hearing the water, maple syrup, lemonade combo. I'm holding you to that, by the way. You said you're gonna try that. So next week.
I said I was gonna get that book. I'll look into the water, lemonade, maple syrup.
I thought I heard that you maybe I'll have to replay the episode. I thought I heard you say I'll look into it or I'll have to give that a shot.
Maybe I did.
Maybe live on the show next week. You can try it out.
Yeah, I'll give it a try. I'm open mind. I'll try just about anything twice. We got another comment here for an event like this. So, yeah, Paul, if you're still listening, if Freight Caviar decides to do an event with some tea, we've got a supporter here for you. I really enjoyed that one. It's nice to kind of get away from, I don't know, sometimes like in between the lines, just like straight freight and logistics, and kind of like hear the insight that Paul or somebody like that has, and their philosophy on life, now they go about doing things kind of below the surface. So I really enjoyed this episode.
100%. Well, shout out again to our sponsors, Multi-Service Fuel Card, been around since 1978. A lot of association with BCS right now. We've had some of their drivers on who use their fuel card. Jamie, for example, loves it. Black Box Logistics, Will's company, HD Ships, where I recruit agents for. Loadbase, we had them on the show about a month ago. Will's demoed their product. Great. You can use it with Mexico carriers, as Will said. Go hit up Stan on LinkedIn. Go check out their website, loadbase.com. Sales-CRM, Freight Specific CRM. We have some agents that use it. Will's company uses it. And TAFS, Top 10 Factoring Company. Ryan and Rob will be in Kansas City. Definitely go talk to them. Great guys, great rates, great customer service. And, we'll be back sometime next week.
I was going to say, and HD Ships. If you're looking to be an agent, get in touch with Matt.
I missed that part. I didn't say that.
No, you missed it. We'll be back tomorrow, Dog of the Week. And then we'll have another episode next week. So, yeah. Well, enjoy Columbia, Matt. I'm sure I'll be talking to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
See ya.